2761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso history with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're back. Guess where we are?
We're inside the studio.
We are indeed. January 30th, 2021. Talking about military people who worked or lived in El Paso or the general area. That covers a lot of people, that came through here. We're going to talk about one guy just came through on a train, I think. Yeah, we'll get to that. But they say, basically, it's a radio show, and you found us on KTSM AM 690 most likely, or you were now streaming live on Facebook page, our own History Radio Show page, and streaming live on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When. And this is the place where we say, Texas history begins in El Paso.
Well, you know, and also you can listen to us via your computer, your radio, your laptop by going to ktsmradio.com, where you can listen to us anywhere in the world.
We're out there. We get some more equipment we got coming in. It's going to be we'll be farther. We're going to get on YouTube on a regular basis. Hey, Pepe's is open for dining inside today. Also, takeout in Canyatillo, 877-2152.
Mission Del Rey has a new in-store radio discount for our listeners who shop in the store. This promo is for 20% off store-wide and is going now through February 15th.
Think about that. 20% just mentioned the radio show.
I mean, that's a lot of savings there for them. And Mission Del Rey Southwest is now open Monday through Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you prefer to still shop online, you can still get the weekly $20 radio show coupon for online orders by just adding history at the checkout. And you can go do this by going to missiondelrey.com or give them a call at 915-440-2140.
They like us. We like them. So
yeah,
go.
We do too.
Patronize. And they got some neat stuff. You can use it yourself or give it away. I mean, you got guests coming into town. That used to be, you know, go to Saddle Blanket for something bizarre. These guys have all the Saddle Blanket stuff plus more. So
yeah.
Give that a hot.
Great place.
A look out there. History moment today, right?
Yes. We're talking about who Biggsfield at Fort Bliss is named for.
And we're not going to talk about Fort Bliss guy because he was never here.
That's right.
But the Biggs guy, was he here?
The Biggs, he was here, yeah.
So we got it.
He was from El Paso.
And he buried here somewhere, isn't he?
That's right.
Okay, all that counts. All right, but we're talking to history today, and we ask a military historian, a guy by the name of John Hamilton, to describe some of the many military people who have lived and worked in the El Paso area over the centuries. John, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, John.
And you have a history also with the Fort Bliss Museum, not the replica, but the other one.
I have history with the other museum.
you do? And you must have gone to the replica once in a while to hang out.
Oh, my, yes. I've been in the replica many times.
Interesting museum. But the one you were in, it became the Ironsides. Tell me the exact title, Ironsides.
We finally settled on the name, the 1st Armored Division and Fort Bliss Museum.
Okay. And it used to be the Air Defense Artillery, because that was their thing, and then they moved out and took their museum.
Well, yes, unfortunately. all of the really, really good stuff is sitting over now at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
but we still do have some stuff for the air defenders. I mean, we still have a whole brigade of them here. So,
well, you have to have at least a V-2 somewhere in the plant, don't you? Or didn't you?
That's interesting you asked. We had a V-2 rocket, the full-sized. It was out front. That belonged to the Air Defense Artillery Museum, so they took it.
Oh, my.
They loaded it on a U-Haul and were gone.
They did. And, you know,
well, yeah, it was that's the biggest U-Haul I've ever seen. what we agreed to was a replica, so we got a 1/6 copy model that was made, and I won't tell you how much it cost to do it, because it is absolutely to scale.
Oh, goodness.
But it is there. It's in the museum now.
Well, that was an interesting era when the V-2 was here. I remember out on Dyer Street, we'd always go on Dyer because there was no US 54 to get to Rodoso. And we'd always pass by this big V-2 sitting there. And that was an amazing. Is that the one that you had, but then they took it?
The same one.
Uh-huh. So now if you want to see one, you can actually go to White Sands Missile Range, the museum out there. They've got one they cut in half. And, you know, they did the same. Was the one on Dyer Street full of concrete?
It was not full of concrete. There were concrete parts to it.
Oh,
when
my.
We examined our rocket before they took it away, then we saw, there was some concrete pieces in it, but it wasn't completely full of concrete.
The one at White Sands was full of concrete. They had to chip that out.
Yes.
Melissa, what do you
think? John, I was just, is the museum now opening up again? I just noticed when I was going on to Facebook pages of Fort Bliss that things are opening back up even more so to the soldiers and the public on Fort Bliss. Do you know if the museum's open?
It's not open yet.
Okay.
I'm in close contact with them. I'm the Fort Bliss Historical Association president, so we're the friends of the museum organization that supports them.
Cool. Let us know.
And we're following what they're doing. They're consolidating the NCO Museum into their building, and of course, picked up the White Sands Museum under their under the organization. Yes.
Okay, and that's an extensive bunch of rockets out. They've got the rockets out there in White Sands.
Oh, indeed they do.
You're not going anywhere.
And I think they have an atom bomb mock-up thing, but real size.
They've got all kinds of stuff, yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, and
just real quick, if you want to get to that, you need to go on Highway 70 and then turn into the post at that point. And because they don't want you going north.
Go ahead. Really the easiest way, yes.
Yeah. They don't want you going through post coming up north from El Paso. That's that.
It's easier going to 70 to get into the museum and everything. Because if you go the other way, which I don't think they let you now, but it was a long way because I used to go out there with the Red Cross. So
that's a long way.
It was a long way.
All right, but John Hamilton's the guy on the phone here, and we're talking to him about a military history. And I think of you for a number of reasons. We've just stated a bunch of them when it comes to military history. But another one is you put out an Arcadia book, did you not?
I did.
And that was on?
I'm sorry?
It was about the topic?
It's about Fort Bliss.
Oh,
it's
what a
Fort
surprise.
Bliss from the very beginning. It is almost all photographs, and we went all the way back as far as we could to find photographs of paintings. I went through every single photo in the archive on Fort Bliss.
Oh, my.
We got permission to scan them all, and so we've got dozens of them. The book doesn't have half of the pictures they have.
So what are you going to do with the other half? The other half you didn't put in the second book?
Well, we could do a second book. We could do an illustrated book of the history of Fort Bliss.
Oh.
I have been doing some research, but I've kind of fallen off because a lot of what I was doing was out in the library, and the library's been closed.
Yeah,
downtown. So.
Well, you're the guy I think of as military. Now, if you're going to watch us on Facebook, John, it's a delay, so don't take into account the pictures. But I want to just reach up here and put my hand through John's picture. See, John's picture's on here. You can do it, too, if
Uh-oh.
You want to.
Anyway,
something to do. We can pat him on the picture. Anyway, actually, that picture was when you were actually in here. I think maybe a year ago we had you in doing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, to the point of the history today was military people. And you sort of like made up a list, and you and I talked about it. We added a couple. I don't think we took anyone off. But where do you want to start? Because military people have been in El Paso, the area, since actually the guy who named El Paso was one of the first ones, and his name was Don Juan de Oñate. He was a military guy, wasn't he?
Oñate was a military officer, yes.
So
he received he received orders and an agreement from Spain, from the Spanish governor and from the king to come up here and do the exploration.
So he's the first.
Yeah, he was really the first soldier in the past.
So let's talk about him, not much, because we talk about him a lot in the past. Go on to your list, and where do you want to start? A lot of Fort Bliss people, no doubt.
Oh, well, we've got all kinds of people. Over its history, Fort Bliss has had a total of 158 commanders.
Wow.
52 of them were general officers. The rest of them were not senior officers, and a lot of them were just lieutenants and captains.
Oh.
Because between 1849 and 1893, the post was, pretty small, and the commanders were here really for a very short time.
And pick a guy and let's go.
Okay. Let's talk about a guy that people will know about. There is a fellow who was a commander here who was named whose name was Captain James Longstreet. Now, James Longstreet commanded the post four different times between 1854 and 1857, sometimes only for a few months, because if you were a captain and a major came in that ranked you, then he would take command of the post.
Oh.
And then if the major was posted out or went out on a scout, then you became the commander by default. And Longstreet, he was a graduate of West Point, graduated in 1842. He would be among many who would be general officers in the Civil War. Of course, he was on the other side. He was a hero in the Mexican-American War. He was carrying the flag of the 8th Infantry Regiment up in assaults of the Mexican redoubt at Chapultepec, and he was wounded. And a fellow by the name of George Pickett picked up the flag and carried it for him. And we know George Pickett also as a rebel.
A Southerner.
If you will.
A Southerner. I was going to ask you, when you said he was on the other side, I'm thinking, what side did you start with, John? you mean the Confederate. I get it.
We're talking about Union officers.
Got it. Okay, no, I'm just messing with you.
These guys were all, and most of the Army was posted to the frontier. There were Army units that were in some of the big coast artillery forts on the East Coast, but most of the troops were out to the West.
So what did Longstreet do? What did he do here?
Longstreet came to Fort Bliss at McGoffinsville. He'd been in San Antonio. He had been the chief commissary officer for the Department of Texas, which meant that he was the guy that made sure that you got rations out to all of these far-flung posts, which was a huge, huge undertaking. Longstreet had been a courier on the West Coast, but he came back to San Antonio, transferred to Fort Bliss, which was in McGoffinsville, and it was a four-company post, you know, only about 100, 150 people. Longstreet was an infantry officer. He took command of Company K, who was here. And when the ranking officer of the post, whose name was Major Edmund Alexander, left the post periodically, Longstreet commanded.
What did that mean?
What's notable, in 1855, he led a two-company expedition east of El Paso against the Mescalero Apaches into the Guadalupe Mountains.
How did that turn out?
They were there 16 days in freezing temperatures, and the Indians completely eluded them almost the whole time.
It was their mountain. They knew how to do that.
They knew the terrain.
Oh, yeah.
Longstreet had a civilian guide, and he was guiding them and guided them into an Indian ambush where the civilian guide, got himself killed.
Oh, dear.
And the 2nd Dragoons showed up from Fort Davis to augment them. Of course, the Dragoons were mounted. The 8th Infantry was not. They were on foot.
Oh, my
goodness. They were marching.
I can't imagine that.
And so it's hard to pursue mounted Indians when you are not mounted yourself.
And you're on their turf.
Yes. And one of the officers with the 2nd Dragoons was a guy by the name of Jeb Stuart. So Stuart was never here on Fort Bliss. That's as close as he got. I did have a former commander of Fort Bliss who once told me, now, you know, Robert E. Lee was here. And I had to tell him, well, no, sir, he really wasn't. He didn't get this far out to the west.
But his road is here. It was here.
His road was here, renamed in 2014.
Right.
To Buffalo Soldier.
I went to the ceremony. Yeah.
Well, yeah, So Longstreet was there. Longstreet really spent almost 4 years here. He commanded the post off and on for about 12 months cumulative. And then he got pulled up to Albuquerque to be the chief paymaster for the western area for the Department of New Mexico. And he was pulled up there by General Garland, whose daughter Longstreet was married to.
Oh, well, that is that. Let me ask you, we got to take a break here, but let me ask you, when you say they were commander of the post, you mentioned that he led a raid out into the Guadalupes. What else does a commander do?
What else does a commander
do?
Yeah,
what's the job require? What do you do?
Well, you maintain discipline. You train your soldiers. You make sure they are supplied. You interact with the locals. There were Indian raids hereabouts. The Indians would come in, and their basic intent was to steal livestock.
Right. And wasn't that the big deal why we had forts in the first place? Was to the settlers or the Gold Rush people going by, they needed protection from the locals, the Indians?
After 1849, you had to have garrisons out here. And we were pretty critical because this was a route to the West Coast.
Right.
In 1849,
right.
You had the discovery of gold at Sutter's Fort, or Sutter's Mill
yeah.
in California, and that's what the gold rush was.
Interesting stuff. We're talking to John Hamilton, the guy who knows the military history in El Paso, and he's written a book or two, and he's also got more pictures than you do. Whoever, even if you're Fort Bliss itself, I think he's got more pictures than Fort Bliss does.
Yeah, I think so.
And you passed the director of the museum out there. Got a lot of knowledge there. So we're going to pick your brain some more. We've covered one guy out of a fairly long list here. So we'll go back and do some more here. Taking a breaker. You can look at us on Facebook. You got people over there?
Yeah, I got a few people.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few people. Well, like Christopher Falk. Now, he came in from the History Alliance page, and he said, "This is very interesting and a vital part of El Paso's history. I'm going to make a point of listening this Saturday. Thank you for this post."
Victor Guzman and Anthony, as always. Yeah.
Ed Gantz, he's a general of the, he was saying, General of the Army Omar Bradley returned to live at Fort Bliss upon retirement and remained here until his passing.
We got him coming up on the list.
Yeah. He's a great person. There's a lot of stuff. So it's nice that people are active and they know their history, and that's cool.
And we can also turn to them and wave.
Yeah, that's
I'm not used to that. We used to do radio here for decades.
Well, we say hi to Beatrice Pacheco.
Okay.
Pacheco.
There you are.
Excuse
okay.
me.
And also I want to thank the guy in the control room, Andrew J. Polk, for setting all this up.
He's a
Monday through Friday guy, Talk El Paso, the host, and the guy who knows how to do this stuff. So we thank him for that.
We got a ding. He said,
"There
he's
you
got,
are."
He has a ding now.
Now we know who he is. He's a ding-a-ling. No. Is he? No, not. Let's not go there because he's in charge of our audio. He can mess with us.
Oh my gosh, he's in charge of all the radio.
But he's the only guy in town.
That's right.
But we do have a phone number. If you would like to ring ding us,
you can give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Prime the pump.
I'm going to have some fun, and I'm going to
go shopping,
maybe treat myself,
or just pay some bills,
catch up on some bills,
a couple bills.
It's the $1,000 stimulus check.
No way.
Sweet.
With up to 12 chances to win $1,000 every weekday.
We know the backbone of our country is built by local businesses like yours. We also know that 93% of Americans tune to radio to hear information about brands they trust from people they can trust. That's why iHeartMedia is here for you. Visit iHeartMedia.com and speak to us about growing your business in a time where it is needed the most. It's your audience listening, and it's time you send them a message. Visit iHeartMedia.com today.
Could COVID really cost you your home? Well, cybercrime is up 75%, but the type you really need to worry about is home title theft, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Cyber criminals are after our homes, and it's easier than you'd think. The title documents to our homes are online now. The thief finds your home's title and forges your signature on a quick claim deed stating you sold your home, and he's the new owner. Then he takes out loans on your home and leaves you in debt. You won't know until late payments or eviction notices arrive. Insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. For pennies a day, home title
payments or eviction notices arrive. Insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do
bring with your home's
identity theft programs. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock protects your most valuable asset. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down.
With promo code radio, go to HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
If you wish, you can call us on the phone. We've got a caller queued up here ready to go. But also, you can also send an email directly to me, elpasohistory690@gmail.com. And if you want to get something on there, well, I'm looking at it right now. Also, if you have a suggestion for a radio program that we haven't done or we haven't done recently, because sometimes we go back and revisit stuff because new things have occurred, believe it or not, and uncovering history.
Yeah.
And like John Hamilton's been on several times, but we never done to military officers.
Oh, there's so much history there.
Well, he suggested three more himself topics we can do. So anyway, ephistory690@gmail.com. That's that. Also, we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/El Paso History TV. The DVDs I produced for 20 years are on there, and they're all free. Take a look at it. You want to learn something about El Paso, check out some of those. Because we went to a lot of trouble to make those, and they took about a year, year and a half sometimes to make each one of those. Mount Crystal Ray, Waco Tanks. Mount Crystal Ray will blow your mind because we didn't take it from a religious perspective. We took it from a logistic city perspective. How did it get up there? How did they do that?
Yeah.
Who was that guy?
That's amazing.
And so another segment, stuff we have, 20 segments of our ABC7 series that aired on ABC7.
Oh,
that's on El Paso History TV. And we got some new people coming on here looking at the subscribing. Andrew Gutierrez on January 27th. Hugo Guzman on January 29th. And one this morning, Hood Rich Fogey. I don't know what to do with that except say thank you. It sounds legal, so we'll say
it. That'll stand out.
It certainly did. El Paso History TV on YouTube. Check that out.
Well, did you know that our show sponsor, Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, has a 5-star rating on the Zillow Real Estate website? And that's because Patrick is a top producer in El Paso and New Mexico, and he not only sells homes, condos, and land, but Patrick also has rental properties available. Give Patrick a call at 915-588-1850 or visit his website, Patrick Tuttle El Paso Homes for Sale. And when you talk to him, do tell him you heard about it on the El Paso History Radio Show.
That would be us.
That's us.
We're pushing a guy.
Yay.
He's good people. Hey, John Hamilton, we have a caller coming in. You ready for a call?
I'm ready.
Here comes Emma. Emma, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. This is Emma Salazar. I happen to be president of Houston Park Association, Little Park across the Baptist Church. Anyway, I'm a lifetime resident here, and I love El Paso, and I enjoy your program a lot. Because it's educated a lot of newcomers and especially a lot of people that don't know what's going on in El Paso. I want to find out, I haven't driven near the old Fort Bliss, was it Barracks or the original Fort Bliss off of Donovan? Is there a sign there? Is there any historical story about it? And where can people call up to find out more about it?
On Donovan.
Fort Bliss off of Donovan.
Yeah, the original. John, what do you know about that?
If it's the one off of Donovan,
that would be next to La Hacienda Restaurant.
I'm thinking that's Hart's. Yes, Hart's Mill.
Hart's Mill, yeah.
Right. It's
Hart's
not. I know
Mill was. That's very interesting. Hart's Mill was established right toward the end of the Indian Wars in the Southwest, and before then, in 1877. The post at Concordia had been closed, And then right after that, in 1877, we had the Salt War out at San Elizario. So the Army reopened the post, but there was no way they could use Concordia again. It was in ruins. It had been a year, and it was all adobe. So for about a year, maybe a little more than a year, the post was in downtown El Paso. It was around San Jacinto Plaza. And the Army rented buildings for the troops to occupy for the cost of about $2,500 a year. And, of course, in 1877, 1878, that was an exorbitant amount.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money.
So in 1878, 1879, the Army contracted to buy about 135 acres of land around Hart's Mill from the Hart family. And established Fort Bliss at Hart's Mill.
And that's what's left of those two buildings. And they are not open to the public. They're private, and I think they need renovation.
Well, somebody owns them now, and they're...
They're private.
Yeah, they're planning to build in a, like a bed and breakfast micro-hotel kind of thing.
I hope they make it.
Well, there's it takes time.
About that.
No, but those are, Emma, those are the two historic buildings left of what was Fort Bliss there at one time. And it's just that they're not open. It would be great if they were. I think they were apartments at one point, and now they're kind of like in need of help.
Right, but I wish they could put at least a sign, because that's historical. That should be a sign or something that to show what it was and when it started and everything. So,
an historical marker right there would be good.
Yes, great. Thank you very much.
I'll tell the people who do that. Emma, thanks for your call.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you take it easy. John,
I'm on the historical commission for the county. And we're approaching that problem.
Okay, so you got that figured out. All right. John Hamilton is on the phone. We got some more callers coming in. We'll talk to them in a minute. And, John, we've got to take another break here. And it's an interesting history. We plan to do military leaders or people that actually worked or came through the city in the military, but we're getting calls about General Fort Bliss knowledge questions. You got the right guy on the phone here to answer those, too, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, that's the person.
So thank you for that.
I have a topic one of listeners put out. Jamie Coppinger said, I think a great subject would be the haunted buildings on Fort Bliss. Another one for you, John.
That's not in the books necessarily, but I think it's a real thing. Yes?
Well, I've led actually one tour of Fort Bliss on Halloween, and we did Ghosts on Fort Bliss. So if what I told them wasn't true, then it should have been true.
Spoken like a true historian. John Hamilton, we'll get back to you in a minute. Call us up if you need to. We got to do a couple of calls already.
That's right, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
When it comes to your business, there's a lot of things you know and a few things you want to learn more about fast. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to get smarter about what your customers are thinking, you need to check out Research Raccoon. Just tell the Research Raccoons whatever your business question is. Maybe it's about a new menu item for a restaurant. Maybe it's finding out what your audience really thinks about your business name. Maybe you don't even know what questions you're supposed to be asking. Let the Research Raccoons know what's on your mind, and they'll poll potential U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data you can use to make smarter business decisions for less than you'd think. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So discover what your business should be doing and move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. Fast results with big data.
2021 is the perfect time to add a healthy new habit to your daily wellness routine. Good nasal hygiene. We all know there's bad stuff in the air, allergens, bacteria, viruses, and that some of it's very dangerous. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, you can clean your nose with Navage. Your nose is the body's air filter, and with Navage, you help your body defend itself by flushing out the crud and germs. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the world's only nose cleaner with powered suction. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it has over 40,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Join millions of Navage users to relieve congestion and allergies, breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Let 2021 be the year you start cleaning your nose with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life. Navage.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Is Keystone open these days?
Yes, it is.
You know what you can do? You can go find out what kind of birds are at Keystone by going to ebird.org. Ebird. That sounds like my father's name, Ebird.
Yeah, they're going to have a tour out there next Saturday at 8 a.m. at Keystone. So head out to learn about birds and get in to see the park.
Well, I get this from Celebration of Our Mountains, Mr. Diego himself, Jim Tolbert. And they've got a lot going on. They already have programs. They had to reschedule one on Rim Road due to inclement weather. They weren't going to walk in the snow, rain, or whatever was going on. They've moved it to Thursday, February 25th at 9 a.m. A lot of species of the birds that you can find all over town. The Bosque Wetlands Park, Keystone Heritage Park, and Memorial Park. There's bird watching in Memorial Park.
Yeah. We've got tons of birds
stuff
around
going
here.
On everywhere. Anyway, ebird.org, and that's Jim Tolbert, Celebration of Our Mountains. Surprise him by calling him up. Here's his cell number. Don't tell him I told you. 525-7364. All of a sudden, his phone goes up. Yeah. 525-7364.
Go out and see the inland gulls that are there. We've got over 500 different varieties
those
of
are crazy
inland gulls.
Where's the ocean?
Yeah, guys, I know. I keep going, I want the ocean.
But they go from Keystone over to that pond over at the Sunland Park Racetrack.
Yeah, because there's all kinds of things to eat over there. Oh, go, lovely. And then they come back and sleep with us.
New Mexican food. Okay, yeah. You got an announcement of some nature?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about Mission Del Rey Southwest in the Quadrant Business Center on Lee Trevino. Now has a shipment of beautiful silver and turquoise jewelry with red coral and opal right now in time for the Valentine's Day sales. There we go. Plus, they have some new horsehair pottery jewelry boxes and heart shapes, and all are unique and they make great gifts. Also, Mission Del Rey has a new in-store radio discount, like mentioned earlier, for our listeners who shop in the store. The promo is 20% off store-wide.
Everything.
And, yeah, it's going on now through February 15th. Just mentioned the El Paso History Radio Show. And also, Mission Del Rey Southwest is open Monday through Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you prefer to shop online, you can still get a weekly $20 radio show coupon when you use the promo code HISTORY for your online orders. So go to missiondelrey.com or call them at 915-440-2140. And their store is located in the Quadrant Business Center. It's located at 1421 North Lee Trevino Drive, Suite 7 or A7.
Another crowd of good people. Hey, yeah. John, we keep stirring people up on the phone. You ready for another one?
Sure.
Here we go. Here's Alan. Alan, you're on with John Hamilton. What's up?
Yes, sir. Mr. Hamilton, sir, there's a couple questions I want to ask real quick. Robert Lee Howes, Major Robert Lee Howes, if I'm not mistaken, in the 13th Cavalry led the charge after Pershing's invasion of Mexico after Columbus. Understanding probably led the cavalry charge another battle in Mexico. Did he not become the 1st Cavalry Division's 1st Division Commander in 1922 or something like that?
You are correct. He was commander of the 11th Cavalry Regiment and fought a battle in Mexico at Ojos Azules.
Okay, which became the 11th ACR eventually, I guess.
Yes, that's right. That's what happened. And then ultimately he became a major general, and there were substantial cavalry units on Fort Bliss in 1921. The 5th Cavalry, 12th Cavalry, 7th Cavalry.
Yeah,
the Army decided to consolidate those into the 1st Cavalry Division. So in September 1921, 1st Cavalry Division was created at Fort Bliss. Half of the division was here, the 2nd Brigade and the headquarters. The other half of the division, the 1st Brigade, was at Fort Clark, which is near what was near Brackettville, Texas.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So it was born, the 1st Cavalry Division was born in Texas then.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Hamilton House was the division, not Hamilton, but Robert Lee House was the 1st Division commander, correct?
Right, yes.
And his son, if I remember correctly, Hamilton House became the father of Army Aviation.
You are correct again.
Ah.
That's right.
Look at all this correct stuff.
I worked at a place called Camp House, named after Robert Lee House in Gainesville, Texas, as a World War II training camp to train division,
yeah. Sure.
Like the 103rd Cactus and like that.
103rd Cactus?
Yes. Oh, division.
Yes.
The Cactus Division.
Really?
Well,
yes.
it's Texas.
Ah, why not?
So, yeah, that place, you know, they're all closed down, you know, those old training camps, but I had to clean up the ordnance and everything on it, like I did a job up here on Kastner years ago, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
You still have all your shoes and feet?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He knows how to walk gingerly.
Apparently, they found...
being a door gunner in Vietnam.
Oh,
so,
my.
Oh, there you
what
go.
Can I say?
Apparently, they found some ordnance last week up on a trail in the Franklins.
And, it's going to be there forever.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah, and a big one anyway. Hey, well,
as long as you got rain and wind and everything, it's going to always uncover that.
It'll
That's
become,
why you still have the signs posted out there.
Oh, yeah.
And another thing, if they ever go to cut that grass out to get the ordnance, it'll ruin that park. So you do that and you ruin your poppies. And that ain't, I believe that will not happen.
Don't touch the poppies.
No.
They're wired for explosives.
They'll clear trails like they did over at the museum by the Border Patrol thing. They got those clear trails. They'll probably do that.
They had to do at least that.
Yeah.
Well, Alan, thanks for the info and the call. Appreciate it.
Alan,
okay,
appreciate
well, you. Have a good day, folks. Take care.
See you in the, streets or on the mountain.
John, I had an additional question on the barracks over there at Hart's Mill.
Hacienda, yeah.
They call it, basically what it is they were, somebody, Vince Sanchez was saying that used to be called Garrison Town. That was the nickname for that.
Garrison Town, what I've read is Garrison Town was the nickname for the temporary post that was in downtown El Paso.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Okay.
Okay.
And this was like, this is like 2 miles as the crow flies out of town. All right, John, let's get to at least one guy on our list, another one. You want to go Sibley, Scott, Pershing, Patton, John Hines, Irwin and Tompkins, Bradley, Polk. I know him, or I knew of him.
No, let's talk about Pershing.
Pershing's
a really interesting guy, and intertwined in that is a guy named Patton.
Go.
Pershing had a substantial presence on Fort Bliss. He was one of two officers that was here who went on to become the chief of staff of the Army. And he really didn't command Fort Bliss. He commanded the El Paso District during a period when we had a lot of unrest across the border. In the El Paso District, well, it extended from down in the Big Bend all the way out through into Arizona. So he had a big area. And he was brought in here with the 8th Infantry Brigade in 1914, and that included the 16th and the 6th Infantry to establish a presence on the border. Pershing attended West Point. He graduated in the class in a class of 77. He was 30th. He'd been in the Indian Wars. He was in Cuba during the Spanish-American War. He was a tactical officer at West Point, and he was such a stickler for regulation that the cadets hated to see him coming. If you passed him, you were going to get a demerit for something. he was one of very few officers in the Army who received a direct promotion from captain to brigadier general.
Skipped a few steps, huh?
Yeah, and boy, did that rise up everybody, because promotions were based on seniority. And you almost had to have somebody ahead of you retire or die before you could get promoted. And he bypassed a lot of officers. There were a couple of other officers, Tasker Bliss and Leonard Wood, were two more that did that. Pershing's 8th Infantry in 1914 was stationed at the Presidio of San Francisco. Pershing came to the post
moved into quarters one, which is now the Pershing House.
In El Paso.
Yes. The 6th Infantry Regiment was quartered on Fort Bliss proper. There was no room for the 16th Infantry, so they quartered them in a place named Camp Cotton. That was along the Rio Grande where the Chamisal Memorial is today. And tragically, very soon after Pershing arrived here, almost his entire family was killed in a house fire on the Presidio of San Francisco.
Yeah, sad.
His
tragic.
Three daughters and his wife perished. His son, Warren, was in an entirely different part of the house sleeping, so he survived. So Pershing arrived here. He inherited all the cavalry units that were in the border area, the 15th Cavalry, 20th Infantry, 3rd Field Artillery. The 15th Cavalry patrolled the border, particularly down in the Big Bend, and one of the officers assigned to the 15th Cavalry was a guy named, a second lieutenant named George S. Patton, Jr.
Indeed.
Patton was kind of an interesting guy. He hadn't been, he was assigned to the regiment, but he hadn't been in the regiment for some years. He had been in the 1912 Olympics in the modern pentathlon. He came in 5th. He had been to the French School of the Sword at Saumur, France. He had been assigned to Fort Riley, Kansas to teach the use of the sword. He became the Army's master of the sword.
Wow.
And it wasn't really until 1915 that Patton was actually told, okay, you've had a lot of fun, now it's time to go back and be an officer in your regiment. Well, the 15th was here, and the 15th was on orders to go to the Philippines. Well, Patton didn't want to go. Patton had been following events in Mexico since 1911. He had written an aunt of his in 1911. He felt sure that the United States would cross the border into Mexico. Wow, he was spot on.
Yeah.
I tell you what, John, park it there for a second. We got to take another break and come back and figure out what happened with Patton when he wanted to go to Mexico but not the Philippines. That's an interesting question.
We'll pick it up there.
All right, be back in a moment. Andrew, hit the button.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Need a good laugh? Then stop everything and check out the funniest new podcast of the year. I'm talking about This Is Important, the podcast featuring the comic geniuses from the hit TV show Workaholics. Hear Adam Devine, Anders Holm, Blake Anderson, and Kyle Nowicek probe today's most important topics, like cuisine.
Are you eating sushi off of people?
Yes.
You can't do that right now.
They're sanitized.
This is hard-hitting stuff. This is important. Listen to This Is Important on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Hi, I'm Nick Jonas, and I'm here to tell you about Think It Up, a new initiative to activate student-powered, teacher-led learning projects. Students and teachers, how can you spark great learning experiences in your classrooms today? Join us at thinkitup.org.
iHeartRadio.
Radio with the latest info about slowing the spread in 2021.
The Biden administration is working hard to beat back COVID-19 and get us vaccinated. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says they'll talk to Americans.
This pandemic is now going to be addressed with science, with trust, with transparency.
The Biden team plans to launch a safe and rapid vaccine distribution plan with help from state and local governments.
Everything you need to know at cdc.gov/coronavirus.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Just to let you know, McGoffin Home is active. You can get in there by appointment only. Give them a call. They got a lot going on their Facebook page, and you can get them a hunt, 533-5147. McGoffin Home is the only museum house in El Paso, and it's a state historic site, one of two in the county. So there, go there.
And while a tramway is stirring up there on the mountain, they're going to have a presentation February 5th. That's a Friday at 12 p.m. And it's Fun Facts Video, Mexican Palo Verde. They'll post this information on Facebook, and it's the Weiler Aerial Tramway State Park. And Instagram, which is Weiler Aerial Waste, I can't tell you all at once, Weiler Aerial Tramway pages. And Diana Moy is putting that on, and she's the park interpreter and volunteer coordinator. And if you have questions, give her a call at 915-562-9899.
The tramway was already closed in COVID hit, so they're really closed.
Yeah, I know.
Super close. All right, John Hamilton, we need to talk to one caller, and it may take a while to finish up Patton and Pershing because those guys were very active, weren't they?
Well, this is a long story.
All right.
And it's very interesting.
And, let's get to the caller.
Their relationship and mm-hmm. what they did and what happened to Patton is fascinating.
We got about 4 minutes left in this segment. Let's get a hold of the caller here named Ron. We may have to continue your discussion into the second hour. Sure. Ron, what is on your mind this morning? Good morning.
Well, I got two questions for you, if you don't mind.
Try it.
In 1964, what was the post commander's name?
1964.
Right. Give me a second.
He may have to look that one up. What's your second question?
Second question is, the main street on Fort Bliss used to be known as Forest Road. Why was it changed?
Was he a Confederate?
Oh, that's a very good question.
What was the street name?
Forest.
Oh, Forest Road. Forest
Road. That's
yeah,
right.
Takes you right over to the commander's housing.
There was, even back in, it was, oh golly, it was around 1999, 2000, there was some concern among some leadership on Fort Bliss that the name was controversial. Forrest, after all, arguably he was one of the finest cavalry officers in the Civil War. There were also some ugly things associated with him. There were some massacres of prisoners.
There's a problem, yeah, yeah.
Forrest was one of the sort of the founding guys for the Ku Klux Klan. Although I don't think he stayed associated with them when they really started to get...
John, was he, quote, on the other side?
I'm sorry?
Was he, quote, on the other side in the Civil War?
Yes.
Oh, I see. There's a problem right there.
Confederate.
All right, there's question one. The 1964 commander, Ron, ask.
Tom Staton was the commander in 1964.
There you go.
Major General.
Right, they named Staton Theater after him.
Now, that's right.
Now, oh, the one in Pershing Drive.
Had an order. Every Friday, every unit would have a retreat ceremony and pass and review. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was 120 degrees out there. Friday evening, you had a pass and review.
Wow.
and he would fly around in a helicopter, and he would check out his post.
How about that?
I know. Wow. I was there in 64 when he did that.
You were on the ground looking up, huh? Fair enough. Well, Ron, interesting history.
And the only ones excused was one cook and one CQ. Everybody else was out there.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Well, Ron, thanks for the call. You take her
that's
easy.
That's when you got paid in cash.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ron.
Yes, I have done that. I have paid in cash.
All right, we're going to move on, Ron. Thank you very much for the call. And I got to tell you, there's a number of things we can discuss after the start of the second hour. John, I don't think we're going to get to the whole list here. We have a whole bunch of...
I suspect we will not.
Well, that's all right, because I mean, I think it's just as well to have a conversation about what we're doing. And also, anybody wants to join in, we're taking the calls. And it's taken us all kinds of places, all about the military in El Paso. And we've got the right guy who can actually talk about the history of El Paso in terms of military. John Hamilton, he wrote the book. Well, he wrote the picture book.
He's the man.
How about
yes.
that, John? You wrote the picture book. How's that?
I wrote the picture book.
And is that still available? Is that available?
Picture says 1,000 words. Oh, yes. It's out there.
I saw it at Walgreens.
As the author, I ended up with a bunch of copies, so I have some.
You want to sell them?
Sure, I'll sell them.
Okay.
I can sell them to people.
Okay, we got to take a break right now, John. We'll come back and sell your books after the break. How's that sound?
Okay.
See you after the news, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.